in a few minutes. Fie on your annoying daylight saving time. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The big event for the markets of the week was the European Central Bank's adoption of more economic stimulus. Interest rates will go lower, more buying of bonds. When the head of Europe's central bank suggested on Thursday that would be it for stimulus, no more, then stock prices retreated. But today, it's a very different story, as stock investors see all that borrowing available to corporations boosting those bottom lines. The DAX in Germany by mid-morning was up about 3%, and in early trading on Wall Street, the key stock indexes are all up about 1%. On Fridays, we turn to Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
Springtime is coming because, my goodness, they are going to buy corporate debt. They're going to buy tens of billions of dollars in corporate debt. And what this does is it alleviates Europe's biggest problem. They're in the process of reforming their banking system. It's going to take years. And while it's going on, there's just not enough money available to lend to keep the European economy going. So by adding corporate debt, they alleviate that squeeze. I would expect it means faster European growth for the next year or so. And of course, that's going to benefit companies all around the world.
Now, Chris, before we go, you got a lot of bond traders around you over there at FTN, but there are some celebrating the seventh year now, the anniversary of the bull market stocks. Are you jealous of the stock people?
You know, what most of us bond guys like to point out is that the peak in the stock market was actually back in July. Stocks are in a downward bear trend channel right now. We may end up breaking out of it, but on the other hand, we may have to go back at some point and recognize that the bull market actually died at 6.5, never made it to 7.
Spoken like a bondsman. Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist, FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
On a day that the market is up 1%. Also, oil is trading at nearly $39 a barrel right now after the International Energy Agency flipped its monthly forecast from predicting lower crude prices to predicting modestly higher prices as production is reined in around the world. The benchmark price is up 50% since its recent nadir precisely 1 month ago. There's a word, nadir, probably no longer on the revamped SAT. International graduates from science, technology, engineering, and math, what we call STEM fields, can stay longer in the U.S. for professional training. That's under a new rule out today from the Department of Homeland Security. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
The new rule expands the length of time foreign STEM grads of accredited schools can stay for on-the-job training in the U.S. The max per degree is now 3 years instead of roughly 2.5, with yet more time allowed for additional degrees earned. Rachel Canty is with Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
So it allows them to do a little bit more in-depth training to really get better skills.
Immigration attorney Elizabeth Goss sees the benefits to employers who need STEM workers.
They're looking for talented individuals, and if they could avoid the immigration system, if they could avoid the extra work, believe me, they would.
But critics have charged the program helps international STEM students elbow out American workers for jobs. Neil Ruiz is a migration expert at George Washington University. He says the new rule obligates employers to show they're not just using the foreign STEM grads as a cheaper labor alternative, but are actually paying them about the same as American workers in similar positions.
So I think that that is a significant improvement.
The new rule takes effect May 10th. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
It is Sunday when we set the clocks forward. It's the one where we lose an hour of sleep and everybody's grouchy with the reward of a nice long afternoon. In California, there is legislation that proposes to end this time switch, Sam Harnett reports.
The proposal would allow California to skip out on daylight saving time. That means half the year it'd be another hour behind the East Coast. A nightmare, says Eric Davidson, chief investment officer for Wells Fargo Private Bank.
Yeah, so a four-hour time difference. So, you know, the stock market then would be opening up at 5:30 a.m. and economic data would be coming out at 4:30 a.m. So that would be really tough.
But San Jose Assemblyman Canson Chu, who wrote the measure, says it's been his most popular bill.
Well, I am always out there talking to my constituents, and this is the issue that they brought up to me more than once.
This has proven to be an issue that gets public attention.
That's San Jose State political science professor Garrick Percival. He says all this attention is a big reason so many politicians introduce these bills. They want to get the media spotlight.
Well, today, lawmakers in Austin talked about Texas putting an end to daylight saving time altogether.
The Oklahoma legislature is debating a bill that would end it.
Some lawmakers want to get rid of it here in Michigan.
There are lots of theories about why it's bad to change the clocks. Disrupted circadian rhythms, car accidents, lost business. But Percival says the data for a cost-benefit analysis on all this is slim.
I mean, this is not something that the federal government's spending a lot of money on. I don't think big think tanks are spending much time on this issue.
The battle over the time change is not new, says Oliver Pollack, a professor emeritus of history at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Pollack says people made all kinds of claims when the U.S. first tried it during World War I.
The cows don't know when they want to be milked. Wives have to make the lunch boxes an hour earlier.
Today, state efforts like the one in California almost never succeed. Arizona did it, but Pollack doubts it'll ever happen on a large scale, nationally. He says we just don't have the kind of political cooperation we once did to take on something like changing time. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And it'll need a better name than the following, but keep an eye on a bacterium called Ideonella sakaiensis 201F6. It eats, for its primary energy source, one kind of plastic, the kind killing the oceans, according to research published in today's edition of the journal Science. Scientists from Kyoto University in Japan discovered this. The little critters turn PET plastic into environmentally benign chemicals. Much more research is needed to learn if the bacteria could safely be used out in the world at an industrial scale. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.